another guest joins us, Morgan Reynolds, Ph.D., Professor Emeritus at Texas A&M University, former Director of the Criminal Justice Center at the National Center for Policy Analysis, headquartered in Dallas. He served as Chief Economist for the U.S. Department of Labor during 2001-2002, during the George W. Bush's first term. He's our guest on Coast to Coast. Morgan, welcome back. How are you?
Very good, George.
Good, good, good. First of all, when you served, were you appointed by George Bush, or was that under Clinton?
I was a political appointee in 2001 and 2002. I served for 16 months.
You did do that. How'd you get that? Did you know the right people? How does
that
all happen?
Well, I had the credentials. Let's mention that, too.
Sure thing.
But, yes, it did depend on contacts, and we'll call it insiders, and I served at the pleasure of Elaine Chao, the Secretary of Labor.
How did you get involved in this 9/11 situation?
Well, I left in 2003, January, and I was a free agent then at that point, and began looking at this, particularly stimulated by the invasion of Iraq, which I knew was based on lies. Many people knew it, including people in the Congress who went along with it. And then I asked the natural question, which is, if they're going to lie about this, what else would they lie about? And I remember that morning, I'd only been on a job in the Labor Department for 1 week, and I went to an adjoining office where a television was on, and I looked at the tower ablaze, and I said, that building will not fall. Now, I didn't see any of the news coverage subsequently because I, like many bureaucrats, was scrambling to get across the Potomac River, et cetera, and it was a chaotic day. But then I just put it on the back shelf. And when 2003, when I started thinking about this and looking around the Internet, that's when I became suspicious. And then David Ray Griffin's book was a marker event for me, The New Pearl Harbor. I said, wow, he put it all together for me.
I think one of the problems that so many people don't face is the fact that of the addressing of Al-Qaeda. I want to get your take on that, and then we're going to bring Jim Fetzer back on and have both of you chat about this situation. But how do you view Al-Qaeda in this situation?
Well, I mean, my first question is, does it exist? Now, and if it does, they are patsies. The whole thing is a scam. Now, we know 9/11 is an inside job, a scam. But any job like that needs plausible villains. They aren't very plausible to me, but like OBL and at least Saddam Hussein was for real. But this business, I thought your Jim and David earlier conceded too readily that, these Arab hijackers did what was officially alleged, etc. Now, these remember that the BBC has interviewed five of the accused 19 hijackers, and other mainstream media raised that total to as many as nine are alive. Okay, there's a little problem in the details. Now, the whole idea that a couple guys in caves halfway around the world and 19 young Arabs who couldn't do anything right. They had no visible means of support. They constantly tripped the wires in the field with the FBI and other intelligence agencies. They couldn't manage to do anything right. The idea that they hijacked these airliners and flew them where they wanted to go, to me, is just preposterous. There is a very good article that appeared within the last day or two on physics911.net by Neela Segadevan about the impossibility of these guys who had no experience in cockpits of big jets to actually do what's alleged. You know, so it's not only the physical evidence that is impossible. These guys could never pull this off.
Well, let me ask you then about the tapes, the audio tapes and the video tapes purportedly of bin Laden and al-Zahiri.
Well, remember, OBL denied this, any part of this within days. It wasn't till December that the government pulled out this this absurd video with this guy that's way too wide, and he's got a gold ring on, and he's not left-handed, and all. You know, in other words, it's just a complete imposter.
So you actually believe that what we've been seeing of late of Bin Laden and beginning, I guess, back in that last tape we got from him before this recent batch was 2004, right? December 2004. Are you saying all this was just concocted, made up?
For the most part. Now, remember, OBL is a CIA concoction.
Well, that I know that. That's true. During the Afghanistan era, sure. That's absolutely true.
Whether OBL is alive or not, there are voice experts, the one at Duke, and there's one in Madison, Wisconsin, who's recently come out and said, these tapes are not OBL, et cetera. I have no expertise on it. But the point is that most of this stuff is simply the new Lee Harvey Oswalds, okay? When you pull off an event, a set of events, crimes so enormous, part of the deal is that you have patsies and all kinds of blind alleys to confuse people.
Is this the reason why we haven't found him? Because we don't want to? Maybe he's not even around.
It's either that or he's already deceased. It's one of the two. Yes, there's no, with the kind of expertise in the world, there's just no way he can hide out. And we don't want until they're trying to get this Zarqawi, or they need a big bogeyman that can succeed OBL. So they're not done with this image.
Well, what about, Morgan, I want to take the devil's advocate for a moment here.
Sure.
What about these so-called cells that we're breaking up, the arrests of these people? What about Zacharias Moussaoui,
how many arrests and convictions have we had? The point is that it's all a huge diversion. Now, some of these people do want to do the United States harm. What's really at issue is their competence to do same. And if we go back to 9/11, which is where I want to focus, I'm raising all these reasons to doubt. For even this idea that they're going to throw the pilots out of the cockpit. First of all, they never explained us how they got through the door. Are you as a pilot? You know, a lot of these guys are they're ex-military.
All right,
you're going to give up your seat?
No, of course they're not. They're not willingly.
Like one guy, the Burlingame. I mean, we're going to smack these guys. And this whole idea that they're coming at me with a box cutter or similar is just preposterous.
All right, so you tell me, Morgan, in your view, what do you think happened on, and let's just use any plane as an example.
The one that's easiest is there's pretty wide agreement that Boeing, you already covered a lot of this. The Boeing 757, Flight 77, didn't go into the Pentagon. Now, it has to do with all the physical evidence.
Okay, assuming it did not, where the heck is it?
Well, here's the other kind of kicker. You know, pre-flight, it wasn't in the BTS schedule. Nothing fits.
What do you mean? What do you mean it wasn't in the schedule?
Every one of these commercial flights, departure, schedule, et cetera, wheels down, et cetera, is in this Bureau of Transportation database. And Flight 77 wasn't scheduled that day. It wasn't in the bay. And the reason that this is done so meticulously is for liability reasons. So there are all these background problems that don't jive. Of course,
Are you saying that? Are you saying that there are no dead passengers from this purported flight, or that there are? First of all, I need to know that.
Well, my short answer is I don't know.
Not that I know the grieving victims' families.
I know one widow, and that's Ellen Mariani, and I believe her husband died on 9/11, supposedly on United Airlines Flight 175. But here again, if you look at the big picture, all the data, there's so many anomalies and difficulties. For example, the loads were so light, a majority of the seats on every flight were empty. And then People have been searching around at these Social Security death and birth indexes and not finding some of these names. It seemed to be fake.
Well, I mean, are you saying that there were no victims?
No,
on Flight 77.
I'm just what I'm doing is raising questions.
I know, okay? But where do you think that plane is? If it didn't hit the Pentagon,
what plane? There is no Boeing 757 wreckage that we can treat seriously.
Anywhere.
Pentagon.
No, let's say that you're right. Let's say Jim Fetzer's right. Where's this flight that was supposed to have hit the Pentagon if it didn't?
Well, you're asking for Morgan to be omniscient. This is not the way a prosecutor works, for example. The burden on a prosecutor, and we can convict these guys. Our evidence is strong enough in a court of law. Our burden is to say, look, here are the uncontested facts. They have no other reasonable explanation but the perpetrators, the accused, committed the crime. We don't know everything.
That's what I'm saying, though, Morgan. You're at least telling me you don't know what happened to that other plane. If it didn't hit the Pentagon, you don't know where it is.
Or George, if we go to the Shanksville site.
Yes.
That
one in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, where the landfill is on the edge of the woods where they say Flight 93, another Boeing 757, which I've flown on one as recently as December, and they are very large.
They're huge.
They're 200 seats. They're 100 tons, basically. They're 60 tons dry. It's a lot. They're 660,000 parts. They're huge. They're 125 feet wide, etc. And you look at that hole in Shanksville, there is no way, George, that can swallow a 757.
So?
The wing, people, we've got good eyewitnesses that say, yeah, well, it's 20 feet wide or so. It's smaller than the trailer in my front yard, you know, and it's 10 feet wide and 10 feet deep, you know, and it's a smoking hole. Witness after witness have said that. And then there's so many inconsistencies. Now, I do believe there was a commercial jetliner flying in the area. We have way too many disinterested eyewitnesses to that effect. One theory, as Jim seems to believe, is that plane was shot down, but its debris seems to have been somewhere else, like the Indian Lake, and the authorities cordoned off New Baltimore. Maybe some of those folks talk to you, Jim.
Jim, let's bring you in now.
Yeah, thanks. Just to make one thing clear, I think that David and I both agree with everything that Morgan has been saying here. For example, in the 9/11 Commission Report Omissions and Distortions, David begins with the point that four, five, or six of the alleged hijackers have been found alive and well and living in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, yeah.
And yet, ironically, the FBI has never revised its list.
No.
The same Neil Sagatovan has observed that no names of Arabs were found on any of the flight manifests.
Yeah, we couldn't even get a straight passenger manifest on any of the four flights.
And any listener out there wants to see the evidence about whether or not they could have flown this plane, this article by Neela that Morgan is referring to, it's on the st911.org website on the resources page, which also includes multiple studies about the cell phone impossibility of making those calls,
right,
even though
that's
they're highlighted in these docudramas.
Well, let me ask you this. If you guys were to poll Mid-America, for example, about this theory, what do you think the percents would be in terms of whether this was an inside job? Let's not talk about the merits of who, but whether it was an inside job or done by an Al-Qaeda group. What do you think those numbers would be?
Well, I would bet, and a substantial minority would have their suspicions. When I ask people, are you satisfied with the official story, it's remarkable how many people are dissatisfied. But that points to one of the sad things about how far this country has decayed, and that is, back when JFK, and Jim is an expert on this, but when JFK was assassinated, the major media did polls right away, and about half of the people didn't agree with the lone assassin. They doubted the lone. Now, I don't think it's probably half, although we do have the Zogby poll for New York City and New York State, which where about half the people believe that the government knew more in advance than they were letting on. It's kind of soft questions like that.
Well, could you... go ahead, Morgan.
So part of the problem is that so much of this is under the radar screen. It's treated with silencio. So I'd love to see exactly the poll you're talking about, George, done on a national sample.
I would like to see that, too.
The fact is, George, that the national media simply isn't reporting what we know about this case, and it's shocking. I mean, you mentioned Flight 77. The fact is, on the recordings, the radar tracking of Flight 77 shows it up to the Kentucky-Ohio border. There is no radar tracking from the Kentucky-Ohio border back to the Pentagon.
And then apparently it just appears.
Then it just appears near the Pentagon. And the part that David Ray Griffin left out talking about Cheney and the bunker is that Norman Mineta, our Secretary of Transportation, observed a young officer coming up to Cheney and telling him it's 50 miles away, sir, it's 40 miles away, sir, it's 30 miles away, sir. Do the orders still stand? And Cheney turns on him, nearly bites off his head, and said, of course the orders still stand. Have you heard anything different? And Mineta didn't know what he was observing then, but it had to be the plane approaching the Pentagon. The order cannot have been to shoot it down. That's like the most heavily fortified building in the world. It would have been shot down. The order had to be not to shoot it down.
Well, another relevant fact is that the air traffic controllers at Dulles testified that they all thought it was a military aircraft because of the maneuvers it was pulling.
And if it had a friendly transponder signaling that it was a military aircraft, that could explain why it wasn't shot down, too.
Can both of you, who are part of this organization now, Scholars for 9/11 Truth, can you both accept the possibility that someone was working in tandem with Al-Qaeda?
Oh, George, it's much more overwhelming than that. I mean, if they had any inkling, they just piggybacked on it, maneuvered it, orchestrated it. It was done with much too much sophistication. These guys could not have flown the planes.
Cell phones were not possible.
Everything about it is a pack of lies. Everything about it is a pack of lies.
Al-Qaeda is a complete diversion from the real perpetrators.
So, I mean, are you saying Al-Qaeda doesn't exist?
Well, we got Russian generals says Al-Qaeda doesn't exist.
Hold on, guy. You're stepping on each other.
Yeah.
George,
yeah.
We got multiple reports about this from foreign perspectives. We got a Russian general, for example, who says international terrorism is a ruse.
Oh, I'm not so sure, though, Jim, I would believe a Russian over...
George, I wish I could tell you that we don't get more straight scoop from Pravda, for example, on this matter than we get from the New York Times, but that's the sad state of affairs.
Now, this goes much further than I think George suspects based on my assessment of his questions. And that is, George, let's go back. And do you believe that there was an Iran-Contra problem, you know, a conspiracy?
Oh, yeah. I think that's very possible.
We have a Watergate conspiracy?
Absolutely.
Well, okay. Now, what about the Gulf of Tonkin?
Absolutely. I think that was contrived.
Okay. And what about the famous assassinations in the 60s? I wonder who did those.
I'm not doubting those either.
And if there are major terrorist events that either provoke war or crackdowns, I wonder who did those. Do you think Al-Qaeda, these bumbling Arabs, pulled off these events? Like, let's take the London bombing, subway bombing.
I think they could have been hired hitmen, Morgan. I think that's possible.
Oh, okay. Working for Western intelligence.
Whomever.
Okay.
I think that's very possible. I think what they found was a group of idiots who wanted to do themselves in for the sake of their God. And maybe only the pilot knew about it. I'm not even sure the other passenger hijackers knew about it. Stay with us. Morgan Reynolds, Jim Fetzer, and I'll be right back.